Welcome to Kuiperian Commentary. I'm your host, Yuri Brito. This is episode 37. And on this episode, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Alan Stout. I've known Alan for probably about, literally about 10 years, Alan. Does that sound right? Alan, thanks for joining Kuiperian Commentary today.
My pleasure. It's absolutely
delight to have you here. I probably should have had you here a long time ago, especially in light of this issue, because it's always pertinent in the news, especially with the most recent Kavanaugh hearing. Al, for our listeners who don't know you well, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you serve, and also tell us a little bit about the church's involvement in the issue you're going to be talking about here in a little bit.
Right. I'm the associate pastor at Providence Church, where you are the senior pastor, and I have been there since the constituting of the church back in 2002. So, 16 years now.
16 years.
Which has been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I am part-time at the church, and I do various things in various aspects of ministry. One of them is I head up the work we do in the life issue. And what that means for us as a congregation is I organize prayers. I organize witnessing opportunities. We call them line the street events here at Providence, where we go outside one of our local abortion clinics and make a stand for life. And I work with outside organizations. I'm on a board for the Emerald Coast Coalition for Life, which is here in Pensacola. And that is a ministry that tries to offer support and help for women who are abortion-minded who show up at the clinic. And I've been doing that for probably about six years now.
You've been doing this for 6 years.
Yes.
What have you observed in these last 6 years about the church's involvement in the life abortion issue? I think every evangelical in this country, in some level, would say they're a one-issue voter, and the one issue they always mention is the issue of abortion. What has been your on-the-ground understanding and view of the church's involvement on this issue?
Pensacola has an interesting history with this issue. We have a violent history.
Mm.
We have had Protestants who have committed acts of violence at the clinics where they actually have killed one of the abortion providers here in Pensacola. And as such, most of the Protestant church has pulled back from active witnessing outside the clinic. Most of the Protestant church in our area. In Pensacola, there's a joke that says we have a church on every corner.
Right.
Which is not far from the truth.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes there are opposing churches on opposite corners of the same street. And we have been absent from this fight for a while, simply because I think, well, not simply because, but I think in large respect because of the past sins of people coming out and doing violence and things of that nature. It's a difficult ministry. When you stand out there and you see 30 or 40 cars waiting at 6 o'clock in the morning for abortions outside, knowing that a child is going to die for most of those women on that day, that it becomes difficult. It's difficult to talk to them. It's that most of them don't want to speak with you, and it's just, it can be discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage the Roman Catholic Church is very faithful about being out there.
Right.
Probably have a little bit different philosophy than a lot of people have, but they are faithful to be outside of the clinic. And part of my responsibility inside the Emerald Coast Coalition for Life would be to bring a little bit more visibility inside the Protestant church to this issue and get them more involved. I have some ideas about what it looks like for what you do outside the clinic that might be different from other people's perspectives, and that maybe we could talk about that.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit here, because there are a lot of people listening to this podcast and they're thinking, I have a great passion for the life issue, but I have not had the opportunity, nor have I had the kind of courage or boldness to actually go out there because of what I have seen. Mm-hmm. And you're offering a different way. There are many groups out there speaking on behalf of life that have noticeably a much more visible and louder way of presenting this truth. What has been your approach, and what would you say to that person who is interested in doing this, has the passion for it, but has the courage to do it yet?
Right. Join with other people. That's okay. A good thing. If the courage is lacking, if you just don't know how to do it, maybe find somebody who's a little bit more experienced who can go out there with you. My philosophy is the primary purpose of you standing out there is as a witness to observe, to be an observer of what's going on, to be an observer and let people know that you're observing them out there, and to pray So we have a group that goes out at 5:45 every Friday. The abortion clinic in Pensacola is open only 2 days a week. We go out one day of the week on Friday mornings, 5:45. People are already showing up at the clinic. It's about an hour before the doctor gets there to do the abortions. And we pray. I stick around after the group breaks up. There's a Bible study that goes on that most of the people that are involved in that prayer time actually go to. I stick around and I try to talk to women as they're going in. I believe that abortion is murder. I believe that abortion is taking of a human life. It is a violation of the law of God. It's a violation of the founding principles of our country. But we are endowed by our Creator with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are among those rights that we have, those three. And the taking of a life, even the life in the womb, is a violation of that principle. And so I tell women who are going in and the men who often bring them there that we're giving them another option, that we would like to offer them another way to go.
Which in the midst of their turmoil, they haven't contemplated yet.
Perhaps, right. So they may not know that there's some other option for them. And I don't know their circumstances.
Right.
There have been instances when I've been out there when other people have been yelling at them that you're going to go kill your baby. You're a murderer. You're a murderer, and yelling at these women going in, and come to find out, well, they were just there for a pregnancy test because they had no place else to go,
right?
Or thought they had no place else to go.
Right.
Had I been able to speak to them before they went in there, I could have gotten them a free pregnancy test, and I could have gotten them an appointment with a real OBGYN doctor for free.
Right.
Oftentimes, so again, I don't know their circumstances, why they're there. Most of the women there are there for an abortion. Most of the women that come in there are there for an abortion. Our clinic does about 25 to 30 every day that it's open. And so most of the women that are there for that purpose. What I would like to do is to tell them they don't have to do that. Mm. Sin has oftentimes brought them to that place, extramarital sex or some other type of sin. Maybe the sin of somebody else. Perhaps they've been raped. Perhaps they have been abused, or there's an incestuous relationship that's happening. I don't know all that information, but I do know that you can't answer that sin problem with another sin. And I urge them not to sin again, not to compound their sin upon sin. And I often say that there are two voices for the church. The first voice for the women is a voice of mercy and warning them against sin, warning them against compounding sin. Is an act of mercy for the workers who are there.
Yes,
I have
there's a relationship established. If you're there consistently,
yes,
you're gonna be constantly relating to the workers who are outside.
Correct.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yes, and you know, there's security guards that are outside. There are the nurses, the technicians come outside, as you said, oftentimes to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah,
and we often have communication with them, or they'll come out and film us if we're singing. Sometimes we come down and we'll sing, and they'll come out and film us. And there are opportunities to let them know that they are under judgment. They are going to be judged as murderers for what they're doing. And again, it's a merciful thing to be told your sin. I'm not mocking them. I'm very aware that they bear the image of God. Even these workers bear the image of God. And I don't want them to see them go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that is just to let them know, as Psalm 5 says, that God hates a bloodthirsty and deceitful man. And they are bloodthirsty and deceitful. They're lying to these women, and they're shedding innocent blood. If they die in that state, they're going to be judged.
I'm not sure the entire United States is focusing in Pensacola, even though Pensacola does have a crucial role to play in the history of abortion, as you mentioned at the beginning. Currently, what is exactly happening here in Pensacola? Because we do have one abortion clinic in Pensacola. So give us an update on that for people who may be interested, who have probably read a bit about what you've written online and now want to know a little bit about what's happening in Pensacola. Give us an update.
Right. We have one abortion clinic, as you said. It is right behind, interestingly enough, Hobby Lobby in Pensacola, a famously Christian-owned business that bucked against a lot of the social engineering efforts by the previous administration.
Over the very issue, right?
Over the issue of abortion.
Contraception.
Contraception, which facilitates abortion.
Right.
So an abortive contraception.
Very interesting contrast.
Yes. And so it's right behind there. It is open only 2 days a week. And the doctor who performs these abortions, who comes in order to do abortions in the state of Florida, you have to be a licensed facility. You have to be licensed for a certain level of surgery and licensed to dispense the medication. Oftentimes, if you're very early in your pregnancy, you can actually be given a pill or a couple of different pills to terminate your pregnancy. So it has to be licensed by the state. It's only open 2 days a week. The doctor who performs those abortions, both medically induced abortions and surgical abortions, flies in from New Jersey. And he flies in on a Thursday and leaves on a Friday when his work is finished. So he performs abortions on Thursday afternoon, usually mid-morning. He gets here early in the morning and then continues to perform abortions all the way through Friday afternoon, at which time he flies out. Which means that the patients that he sees, those on whom he's performing these surgeries, don't have opportunity for follow-up care by the person who performed the surgeries. Wow. Nor does he have any type of admitting privileges in the state of Florida, which is against the law. As the law is currently written in the state of Florida, there has to be some type of relationship between somebody performing these types of surgeries and a local hospital. So the follow-up and proper follow-up care can go on. And so we've had reports of women showing up at the emergency room who've had complications from their surgeries, these abortive surgeries, without any records or anything like that. So currently, there's one abortion clinic. It's open 2 days a week. They perform probably 50 to 60 or 70 abortions a week right here in Pensacola.
What is the chance right now of this place closing down?
It's currently closed. So the abortion clinic right now, we're in the middle of a 40 Days for Life campaign. If anybody hears this and you're in the Pensacola area, if you'd like to come out and pray, I can put you in touch with some people who would go out and pray with you. It might be an excellent way to get started if you're nervous about actually talking to young women who are abortion-minded. It's currently closed, so there's nobody there. There occasionally a worker will show up during the middle of the week, but not right now. It is closed because of they made a licensing error. They forgot to renew their license. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's important that people are out there in front of the clinic. So we noticed there were some changes in traffic patterns at the clinic. And so we went online and looked at their license and discovered that their license was expired and had been expired for a few weeks. And that they appeared to be doing abortions while their license was expired. And that gave us an opportunity to actually report them to the state. And then the state began to investigate because of that. And there were a whole bunch of other things that happened after that. One of our local representatives, a gentleman by the name of Frank White, was instrumental in his office of getting in touch with the state agency that oversees these types of clinics. They were instrumental in just getting them to actually do their job. One of the things that there's a movie coming out on October 12th called The Gosnell Movie, America's Biggest Serial Killer. Part of the story you'll hear in that movie is that the state of Pennsylvania refused to enforce their own laws or to do health and welfare checks on clinics and things of that nature. And we have that same problem in the state of Florida. The state does not want to get involved in the political side of abortion. Even though they're a member of the state, they don't want to appear to be anti-abortion. They oftentimes don't enforce the laws that are on the books, and they don't do their inspections properly. And so, one of the reasons we're out there all the time is to make sure that those things actually happen. Currently closed, we're hoping they remain closed because they have yet to do the things that require them to be a surgical facility in the state of Florida.
Right, you do need to be wise as serpents in these kinds of issues. You got to be very subtle and careful of details, because that's the game they play also. I want to just delve a little bit in the philosophical dimension here, but talk a little bit about what role should the state play in ending abortion, and if you can give us a little synopsis of what's going on in some various states with regard to this issue. Of course, Senator Kamala Harris just said recently that one reason we can't put Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court is because of his Catholic background, mainly specifically because of the life issue. Without delving into that political discussion, what kind of role should the state have in ending this long-term massacre we have seen since 1973?
Right. So in the United States, abortion was legal in several different states prior to 1973, prior to Roe v. Wade, prior to the Casey decision, which followed Roe v. Wade. One of the things that the people want to say now is let's get rid of Roe v. Wade and turn it back over to the states. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the federal government actually would have a role in this, because these are persons.
And it's a moral issue.
Right. And if they're persons, the state doesn't have the option to take away their life unjustly. Mm-hmm. That there needs to be a judicial process to take somebody's life. Namely, you have to be found guilty of a capital crime in order to do that. if you had a law in place that found the fetus guilty of murder or the guilty of some other crime, that's the only reason the state could take the life of the child. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that's not what's happening. So I think the federal government should ban abortion. That would be my position, because of the fact that that is a person. And every person in the United States has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And because we have gone away from that, and oftentimes our founding documents don't mean what they used to mean, mm-hmm. in our country, so we don't hold them in as high regard. But the way it looks like it's going now is if the trajectory continues, perhaps this issue would be turned back over to the states, mm-hmm. which I think is fine as long as it's an incremental step to a complete ban nationwide. If we are under one covenant, if we're underneath one constitution in the states, I think eventually we could ban it throughout the country. But in the meantime, let's say it's turned back over to the state of Florida, it's much easier to fight this fight
locally
at a local level.
Right.
Right. It is much easier for me to go to my local representative and get them to act on my behalf than it is for me to get in touch with my congressman or my senator and get them to act on my behalf. It's just much easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think the state has a role. If it gets passed back down to the states, the state should ban it. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm happy for incremental laws that make it more difficult for these things to operate, these clinics to operate, and actually make them show themselves for what they are. The laws that we have in place in the state of Florida, there's the requirement that a physician be licensed in the state of Florida. There's a requirement that a clinic have admitting privileges to a local hospital. There's also a 24-hour waiting period that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor that is not in effect because it was overturned by state Supreme Court. That being said, those little incremental laws are useful to get us to the end because it shows us what it is the abortionist is doing. And I think if you can highlight that, which we've done here in the city of Pensacola, if you can highlight what's going on, it's much easier to say that needs to be stopped.
Now, a couple more questions here as we come to a close. Obviously, the issue of life is, in some ways, is an issue that the church has tackled for centuries. Right. The church has always had an interest in defending the weak and the naked and the poor. What's been, in your studies, what's been sort of the historical position of the church specifically towards those children who are not wanted, which I think there's an analogy here to the abortion issue, but historically the church has also dealt with this issue. What's been the position of the church towards unwanted children, for example?
Right. Throughout the history of the church, the way the church has loved those people who are unwanted, that have loved those people who are despised, whether it be the children who were born and who were left out to be exposed in the city, in Rome, mm-hmm. Where the church would rescue children who were left outside the walls of cities, or starting of orphanages. Most orphanages in the Western world were started by Christian organizations. Mm-hmm. Most hospitals were started by Christian organizations in the history of the West. The church has been taking care of the unwanted and the despised for a very long time. We need to be better at that today. Unfortunately, we have a very powerful state that has taken over a lot of those things, oftentimes has not done very well at that. Sometimes a corporate mindset has come in and we have a corporate ideas of adoption, corporate ideas of healthcare and things of that nature. And the church has pulled back from that. The church needs to be reinvigorated to go out and do those things. Part of that is we need to get the federal government, this large government, out of the way and get it back down to a local level so that we can do the work that we're supposed to do.
Gosnell movie, which both of us saw a preview of recently, was purposely not graphic. It could have been a lot more graphic,
yes.
Right? It was a wonderful. We got a chance to meet the director, John Sullivan, who did a fantastic work with a very small budget.
Right. Producer, actually. He was the producer.
Producer, okay. And working, of course, against the Hollywood celebrities who did not want to see this come out. You saw the trial of Gosnell. You saw all the horrendous things that were happening inside the clinic. What do you do? I've known some people, a few, but some people who have been out there in abortion clinics for 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. Faithful saints have persevered, and you've been doing this work for some time now. What do you do not to be discouraged by what you see every time you arrive at that place.
Right. We have a long view. Like this podcast is the Kuiperian commentary. Right. We believe that Jesus Christ sits on a throne and rules and reigns. And we also believe that he writes a fantastic story. Mm. And we know that at the end of that story, every single man, woman, and child is going to be raised from the dead, and everything will be made right. We don't get to dictate to the author when that story reaches high points and low points, but we know that as we labor, as we work, that even in the low points, even when we're suffering, even when we're down, that we know we're part of the story that actually leads to the redemption of the world. The cosmos is his. The cosmos will be redeemed. All of his creation will be touched. So in the middle of being discouraged, in the middle of not seeing anyone turn around maybe for weeks or months from considering abortion, actually going through with that, we know that that's not the end of the story. Mm. We know that that's not the end of things. So we continue to be faithful in what you've been given to do. That's what I would say. Just be faithful in what you're given to do. Part of that is going out there and telling these women there's another way, there's another choice, and being ready with the helping hand of the gospel, that sin is bad, gospel is good, Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and he does not want you to kill your child.
Pastor Alan Stout, thanks for your labors in this issue here and for your time here at Kuiperian Commentary.
Yes, sir.